This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The great writer and columnist Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe. How fortunate are we to get this guy on the bench tonight on CBS Sports Radio? We're friends with a lot of guys from the Globe that come on the show, McBride, everybody. But Shaughnessy is at a different level. I love McBride till the day I die. I'd love to see those two in a fist fight. But Shaughnessy, I mean, your column today is just whatever. This week I read about the the helpless line of quarterbacks and foil for the Patriots. That is just such just beautiful, is all I have to say. That stuff is just great. Like, I'm reading this column and I'm going, all right, it doesn't get any better than this. You're writing about bodies floating down the river of Carson Wentz, Aaron Rodgers, Stafford, Manning, Flacco, Wilson, Smith, Ryan, Roethlisberger, Drew Brees have all floated down the river past Gillette Stadium. And then you say that there's no quarterback who could beat him, and that the final four quarterbacks of Bortles, Keenum, and Foles, and Brady, it's like having an NCAA Final Four of Maryland, Baltimore County, Southern Utah, Ball State against Kentucky. That is just, I mean, that is terrific stuff, dude. That's why you're the best. That stuff is so awesome. I was laughing reading it. It's just so epic. The columns you kick out are great, man.
Well, thank you. That's it's nice that someone's paying attention to the writing. That's unusual these days. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, people pay attention to your column. It's you're very unique, one of the great columnists in America, and everybody knows it. How much fun have you had on the run you've had in Boston?
Boy, you know, I'm sitting in my home office, and I've got the front pages of all the championships in this century. There's 10 of them. And really, it's the high renaissance of New England sports and all four teams, and of course, none more so than the Patriots. I've got five front pages from Super Bowl victories here, and we've got a generation of young people that don't know what it's like to wait and suffer and go through the downs, and it's just been so much good here for so long, and none better than this Patriot run in 17 years, just amazing.
You do you feel that? The how much the millennials and everything else have changed the landscape of writing. Like, you know, I can't go a day in my life without a newspaper in my hand in my driveway. I got several of them that come to me, and I went to journalism school at Indiana University, Ernie Pyle. I believe in it till the day I die. I think the worst thing I've ever seen is the bleeding of newspapers in this country. For you, when you see all these kids frankly, that just look at their phones all day and don't read anymore. How much does that bother you as a great sports writer?
Yeah, I mean, it's evolution, and it, I understand it. I no use baying at the moon over it. It's the way it's evolved. I get two rags home delivered and go down and buy five at the 7-Eleven every day. So I'm in the dinosaur category. I know all the stuff's there online. I understand that, but I don't get the same experience, and I miss things if I go online or. If I'm scanning the paper, I'm less likely to miss little items and serendipity, things that you come across. I think with the reading on the internet, you tend to target what you already know and what you like, and you go there, and you don't really get that discovery that the other gives you. But again, I understand. I've got three grown-up children, and none of them touch a newspaper ever, and I understand that. It's just the way it's evolved. And the good news is, you know, a lot of the young folks that you're citing, you know, they're good reporters, and they're storytellers and content gatherers, and we've got to hand it over to them. I just hope we don't lose the craft of the writing, because I think there's more and more with the quickness and the shortness of the bites that are going out there. There's left less emphasis on the writing.
What do you think that'll do to Boston sports if that Herald goes away? I like having both the papers there.
We need that. I mean, I've been home delivery Herald for 40 years, and we want them. You always want, you know, I was at the Washington Star when it went out of business in 1981, and And, you know, it's never a good thing. I was at the Baltimore Evening Sun. That's not there anymore, and we've seen it around the country. And it's the economy, and it's what's happened with what the Internet has done and what social media has done. We get that. The good news is, like, places like the Washington Post, New York Times are fighting back and spending money and doing good reporting, and there'll always be a place for that. So we're hoping that our brothers at the Herald, our brothers and sisters at the Herald, they steer through these difficult times.
Do you think Dan Shaughnessy, the great writer in Boston with us on from the Globe, when you've been around this guy Belichick all these years, how fascinating has that been for you, or do you find him painful? Because I think he's a very interesting guy. I would find him, because I was around Bob Knight for 5 years, sure. And I found it intoxicating to be around someone with all that, you know, his extremities. He was crazy, but there was a genius to him, too.
Yeah, well, the level of success and how good he is at his job and what a football historian he is and just the mismatches that we see on a weekly basis in this sport, it's just amazing. It gets more every year. The gap, you watch the way some of these games are mismanaged with the clock management and the play calling and, you know, blowing up stupid challenges and just name it. And that really, they very rarely lose because of coaching here. And so I know what he's up to with the media thing, and I get that. I don't waste a lot of time going down there asking things I know he's not going to answer. And I don't like the people celebrating when he gives the media the finger. I think that, you know, the people want the information, and the reporters are there to try and get it, and I don't celebrate that attitude. But you cannot take away the genius that he's brought to this. It reminds me a lot of Auerbach in terms of had the thing with Russell all those years, and now you've got Belichick and Brady, and it's working in similar fashion.
Who's more interesting that you covered, was Auerbach or this guy?
Well, I would love to, like, to me, Bill would be a fascinating guy to be stuck in a car with for driving cross country or something. I just think there's a lot there. He's got great intellectual curiosity. Red wasn't much for the small talk, but he had the bottom line, and he liked to talk. And you know, and I actually enjoyed the cigar smoke because my old man smoked them, so that didn't bother me either. And kind of reminded me of being with my dad. And I loved Red, and I really felt like I knew him. I did a book with him. Bill, we're the same age, but I don't really feel like I know him. But there's a lot in there, and I just feel I'd love to hear what he really has to say and thinks about things, because I just think the waters run deep there.
Right. Do you think the whole Brady thing today was cheesy?
Well, I don't know what's going on. Clearly, there's some injury there, and these guys are the. I mean, I cannot believe you can have, you know, got to be 100 people in the building that know what happened there and what the story is, and it doesn't get out. They would be the best POWs in the history of warfare. I mean, these guys, it's like it's amazing. Nobody breaks, nobody cracks, and they're all on point, on message. But I thought, you know, Tom's thing was a waste of time today, and Bill's thing was a waste of time. And I just, there's a lot of, you know, worthy reporters just wasting their time down there. And you know, it's not the blueprints to the MX missile here. I mean, it's football, and I just think the level of taking yourself seriously is a little bit over the top here.
Do you find Dan Shaughnessy, the one and only with us on the bench, do you find this game a piece of cake for them?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I just, the longer I linger over it, I just, this is, in my view, going to be a blowout. I cannot fathom Blake Bortles coming in. I've seen too many young quarterbacks. They have no chance against Belichick. None of them have done it. I mean, you know, Sanchez pulled off, you know, but he had played against them, not done well, but there was a little familiarity there, and you know, being in the New York market, and I just think if you come in all pie-eyed and reverent and golly, that they just take advantage of that, and people tend to lose their minds when they get here. So, I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I like competitive games. I didn't enjoy that Titan thing last week, but that Titan team, which was not even a playoff team, they beat the Jags twice this year.
Right.
Do you realize the Jags lost 9 straight last year? They were 3-13.
Yeah.
I know that's last year, but man, I mean,
they were terrible.
It's just unfathomable that they're in the final two standing here. And yeah, there are teams. This is not one of the great Patriot, you know, dynasty teams, but given the field, they're certainly going to get to the Super Bowl. But I do think that the Ravens, Chiefs, Steelers. I wouldn't be saying what I'm saying if they were coming in here. I would just, the level of respect and experience and having big boy pants and guys who think they can do it here and have done it here, I mean, I respect that. And again, nothing against the Jags. I just, it's a tall order. I don't think they're up to it. I think the Patriots are going to take away the run, make this guy do stuff he can't do, and it's going to be bloody.
You saw that, Dan Shaughnessy, what is that, Super Bowl last year. Could you even believe it? I mean, honestly, down 25.
Yeah, I mean, again, and the Patriots, I give them credit for just keeping their heads down and doing what they do, but the capitulation on the part of the Falcons was just so, I mean, 2 2-point conversions that weren't even contested. It's just like they just quit. They just got scared and played that way, and their leadership was lacking, and that's the kind of thing that happens. I mean, they were better than the Patriots, and if that game had held to form, we'd have spent the whole summer and fall saying, you know, I guess this is the end for New England, because that was a younger, faster, better team, and then they lost their way.
So your thoughts on a couple other things. Kyrie, what he's brought to the Celtics, because there's a lot of things they don't do well, that team. They don't shoot well, this and that. And I watched them last night. I thought they looked terrible without him. But they win all these games, and they got this great coach. What do you think their future is going to be like here the rest of the season with Kyrie? And then the other question I would have for you would be, with the Yankees getting Stanton, and everybody's talking evil empire again, and how the evil's back in the Bronx, do the Red Sox sign Martinez, and then is that going to be good again, that rivalry? Because it doesn't seem like – I didn't think it was any good the last couple of years.
Well, I think that on the Celtic thing, I mean, it's all ahead of them, and you know they don't have Hayward this year. They'll have him next year. And Kyrie has been just beyond what people hoped, and just he's really one of the top 10 players in the NBA, and just an amazing finisher like I've never seen. And you know, he's just a handler, whatever they want to call it now. I mean, he's like – I've talked to Maxwell about it. He says better than Tiny Archibald, better than Cousy, better than all those guys in the old days. So it's a lot, and it's all ahead of them. They're very young. And that game, it just do away with that thing you saw last night. That was probably their worst game of the year.
Right.
So, but they're legit. They're very young. And the conference, I mean, they could have trouble with Toronto or Washington, and certainly Cleveland if they get their act together. But they should be in the Final Four of the conference and have a chance to get to the NBA Finals, certainly. As for the Red Sox thing, you know, they won the division back-to-back years, 93 wins, but have come up with nothing in October. And we're kind of in a show-me attitude with them until they demonstrate they can do things in October. They have a good young core of everyday players, not enough power, good veteran pitchers, and it's a strong team. But the Yankees have, you know, the Yanks played much deeper into October last year, went out and did things in the offseason, including the big deal. And sure, so the Yanks are ahead of them now. Sox are chasing them now. And, yeah, I think the rivalry is definitely flattened out. It's never going to be what it was in 03, 04. But it's certainly crawling back to a level that will, you know, those games will be really a big deal this year. And the Yanks beat them 11 out of 19 last year, so they head-to-head, they were better last year.
30 seconds. I play tons of basketball. I got to tell you, my favorite player of all time is Larry Bird. I've never seen anything like the way that guy played. And all the things he did with his size, his rebounding, his passing, his playmaking, his last-second heroics, what was it like to cover him?
It was a great treat, and you know, again, we were around the same age, and I learned so much basketball seeing him, and he was and he warmed up to us too. You know, it was a lot. He got to be very, very good after games, and it was a lot of fun, and it was really it's a great thing to look back on.
Man, you're awesome. I love reading your columns. Keep doing your thing. Please don't ever stop. There's guys like you, they don't come around once in a generation. You're one of the greats. Keep up the good work, and do me a favor, punch McBride for me.
Appreciate it. Enjoyed it. Take care.
All right, Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.